Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
Some of y'all know it's good when there's a bunch of kids that are singing and dancing for Jesus, right? That's good. Dustin, we're good. Thanks, man, for being willing. I just really am thankful for the Christian Ed Committee and for everything they put on. We had a ton of volunteers here. Over the course of the time who came throughout the week, we had somewhere close to maybe 50 kids that came through. There was maybe 30 of them up here this morning. Good stuff is happening. And as we've been talking about in our faith series through the month of July, we've talked about faith for our future, faith for our finances, and this morning we want to talk about faith for our family and believing that God will do a breakthrough in our family. Perhaps you're thinking about your marriage, you're thinking about your kids, maybe that one child that's gone off and away from the Lord. Perhaps you're wanting a breakthrough in your own heart and you're the leader of your home and you need a breakthrough inside of your family. We're going to go to the Bible today and see if perhaps if God would do something in one person, perhaps he would do a breakthrough in the entire household. If God is able to access your heart, maybe you can be a conduit for the rest of your family. And so we're going to dive into the scripture here this morning. If you would, join me in Luke chapter 19. You can either grab your Bible, you can grab your phone. If you've got your iPad, search in there in Luke chapter 19. Luke is the New Testament. It's probably going to be about 60% of the way into your Bible is where we're going to find it. But we're going to find a picture of Zacchaeus who gets hungry for something different than the casual, usual, normal, nominal, predictable, boring, everyday life, because he hears that Jesus is on the move. And he hears that Jesus is moving, and so Zacchaeus begins to move. And when God's moving, we want to move. And one of the things that we were talking about this morning in our prayer time was when God moves, we move. And when God calls us to move, just have a quick response. One of the things that happened this morning in our house is we had Allie Payne spend the night last night. Bethany, you know, she's wild and wonderful, isn't she? She is awesome. And so she spends the night. She gets up early whenever I got up this morning, and she is down cooking bacon and cracking eggs, and she is putting this breakfast on for us, and it's spilling over the side of the thing, and we're wiping and cleaning it up, and all sorts of fun stuff is happening. But she's making a move, and I liked it, while the rest of my kids were not making any moves. They were snoring. They were making zero moves. We had to get them to move with a 2x4 this morning. Allie is up, and when she hears there's movement, she's ready to move. And so we see a man that's about to make a move that's not only going to affect him, but it's going to infect his entire family. It's going to infect his entire household. So in Luke chapter 19, starting in verse 1, it says, Jesus entered Jericho, and he's passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector, and he was wealthy. Jesus is about to eat with this man. I just want to ask you this question. What is wrong with eating with a tax collector back in this day? What's going on is that the people of Israel are being taxed by the Roman government, and these tax monies are going to basically fund this regime, these soldiers that are wiping out your own people. It would be like us paying ISIS to come kill us. That's what's happening. And so the chief tax collector, and the tax money would go for other things, but one of them was to make Rome the biggest, baddest dude on the planet. And Rome is marching, and Rome is taking over, and Zacchaeus is a well-to-do, he's a chief leader, he's a chief tax collector. He's got branches all over. This is the guy, okay? He's the regional director of operations whenever it comes to being the chief tax collector. And it says he was wealthy, okay? So this man is loaded. He's skimming off the top. He's doing whatever he can to pillage the people and stuff his own pockets. Verse 3, he wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and he climbed a sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. There was something, I believe, that's starting to go off inside of Zacchaeus' heart. Something's beginning to shift and stir. And Jesus is stirring interest everywhere he goes. Jesus is moving, and Zacchaeus hears about this guy. Perhaps you hear that there's a new concert that's coming in, and you're wanting to go to Verizon. Does everybody call it Verizon or Adolf or what's it called? Deer Creek, thank you. You hear that there's this group that's coming through, or you hear that there's a new movie that's coming. You hear word that something is coming, and it causes you to show up. And he hears that Jesus is coming, and he's passing through, and something begins to stir inside of Zacchaeus. Y'all know those stirrings? For me, I feel it in my stomach often. It's kind of like my inner man, my spirit man. I'll feel conviction here. I'll feel excitement here. I'll feel like my stomach flip maybe when your wife walks into the room or you see your kids, something that causes some energy and some excitement. Or you feel like the heaviness is something, but maybe you feel something. He's stirring inside of Zacchaeus. And you only get certain things whenever you show up to that stirring. Can I also say this? You only get certain things by extreme measures. Alyssa and I, we try to watch what we eat and try to occasionally work out. And when I say occasionally, I mean even on rare occasion will we try. And the deal is I tell her, it's like, I want the body of like an 18-year-old. Is that cool? And she's like, it's cool to want it. It's not going to happen, bro. And she'll be like, yeah, you can want it. She goes, but she said this. She said this to me. She said, some things you only get by extreme measures. And I said, but I like Doritos. And she's like, well, that's an extreme measure that you're just going to have to get rid of. But I also like pizza at 10 o'clock at night. Well, that's you're just going to have to get rid of. And I also don't like running. And she's like, well, there's going to be some extreme measures that you're going to have to do. And I just want to know, if God is on the move and he's doing something, maybe even moving inside of your heart, would you shift behavior? Would you pivot something? Would you give up anything like we're about to see Zacchaeus do? He's going to have an extreme shift take place in his life if he wants to see breakthrough in his family. He wants to see breakthrough in his own heart. And so we start seeing this thing happen inside of Zacchaeus. Also, I believe that this hunger that's going on inside of him, whenever you have a passion, everybody knows it. And hunger doesn't take no for an answer. Hunger just refuses to be denied. Hunger is in pursuit. Passion is proven in its pursuit. And so if you're not pursuing anything but you talk about it, I would just say, man, just show me the time. Show me the effort that you're giving to this thing. So Zacchaeus hears that Jesus is on the move, and he could have just stayed at home. He could have just stayed in bed. He could have kept playing video games. He could have done 100 other things. He really could have. He could have been disinterested to anything that Jesus was perhaps doing inside of his spirit. But for Zacchaeus, he wanted to see Jesus. And it wasn't about to let any other limitations get into his way. It says that Zacchaeus was short. It says that there was a crowd. It says that they're already gathering. And so sometimes we can say, I just don't know that God's going to do it in my family. I don't see how he's going to do it. There's all of these limitations. I'm short, there's a crowd, I can't get around, I can't get to Jesus. I see this child that is so wayward and so far gone. I see this marriage and there's just no hope. Like, I seriously, there's zero hope. I see this thing going on in whatever else, all the situations that I have in my family. I don't see a way. And if you're coming in this morning, you're just kind of feeling that ache, maybe that pit inside of your stomach. Just picture yourself being Zacchaeus, and you're like, man, I'm this close, though. Like, Jesus is, like, right there. He seriously is so close. And I've heard that he's done it for other people. I've heard that he's done breakthroughs in other people's lives and other people's hearts. And instead of only seeing the limitations, Zacchaeus just wants to try to find a way. And so he pushes past the people to get to the presence. He pushes past. He does whatever he can to get to see Jesus. I also want to encourage you in this. If we've got parents and you've got young kids in the house, it's so important for your kids to see you press into the presence. It's good for your kids to see you sitting at the kitchen table with the scriptures wide open. It's a good thing. It's a really good thing. It's good for your kids to be raised in an atmosphere where praise and worship music is going on, where you have ushered in the presence of God and they're hearing glory to God, and we magnify Jesus, and we're praising and we're worshiping, and they're seeing mom and dad lead in that way, where mom and dad don't get home from work and just check out and just watch TV, where they see a pursuit, and we come home, and we've got books, or we're listening to a podcast, or we're inviting friends and family over, or we're hosting life group, or they see us engaging some way where we're pursuing more of Jesus. And so Zacchaeus, he wants to continue to pursue. Verse 5. It says, when Jesus reached the spot. Now, the Bible doesn't underline it. It doesn't put it in bold, but I did because I think this spot kind of matters. There is a spot. Jesus was walking to the spot. Zacchaeus was getting to this spot. I think that there's something to be said about there is a spot where Jesus meets. There's a spot of encounter. There is a place of encounter. For me, it comes down to I've got to be one that masters my mornings. I got to get up in the morning. Maybe for some of you, it's in the evenings. Maybe you do it in lunchtime. I don't know, whatever it is. But for me, the spot is in my kitchen. It's at that table. It's sitting down. It's getting my butt in that chair, and it's refusing to be distracted by other things. It's staying off of my phone, staying off of Twitter. Jesus can show up in Twitter, but usually shows up in his word. And that's where I've got to just get all of the distractions away, push past all of the other limitations, the things that are keeping me from Jesus, and I got to get to the spot where he's going to meet me. I want to encourage you, man, you've got to find that spot. And we look at all the distractions and we look at how this just isn't going to work out. I just don't see it working out. I would just encourage you, before we focus on all of that other stuff, get in the place where Jesus is going to be. Something else I find interesting is that Zacchaeus climbs the tree and he's already in the place. He's already in the spot. But Jesus isn't there yet. Ugh. Anybody ever done that? Okay, Brock, I've been there. I've been in the spot. Been here for like the last 3 years, man. I'm in the spot. I'm in the place. He's not here. He's not showing up. When will Jesus come to the spot? When will he be to the place of encounter? And Zacchaeus is there before Jesus. That's so fascinating, isn't it? I just want to ask this question. If you knew, though, that he would come, and if you believed and you had faith that if he would show up, that eventually your whole life would change, would you not stay there and say, I'll be here for a year, I'll be here for 5 years, I'll be here for whatever it takes if you will flip the script of what we're currently living? I will do whatever it takes. And so Zacchaeus, he finds himself here, and he's at this spot. There's this place of encounter. This in basketball, we talk about spots. Like, you got to find your spot, or you got to pick your spot or pick your place. Especially in one of my favorite offenses is the triangle offense, okay? So this was big in the 90s with the Chicago Bulls. We tried to run it like in junior high and high school, and we were actually better at it in junior high when we didn't have to play like better competition in high school. And we would run these certain spots, but my favorite spot is the pinch post. The pinch post is the high, it's like the elbow. It's like a high post. It's the elbow. And this is where the action swings back through. There's an initial action, okay? So like whenever I was coaching in junior high, so Grant Brown, when he would bring the ball up and he would initiate this offense, I loved it whenever it swung back to Grant in the pinch post. He would find his spot. Okay? And then everything runs off of this. There's handoffs, there's pivots, he can pull up, he can swing the ball. There's so much options that happens here, but it's not the first choice. The first choice starts with a right side inbound pass, and we start running a triangle on this side. Eventually, after some time, and after some action, and after some things have happened, and there hasn't been a lot of stuff that's given better opportunities. After some breakdown, after life is kind of a bummer, it begins to swing to this spot and everything begins to open up in a totally different way. You got to find this spot. Finding a spot. I just want to encourage, and I don't want to belabor the point, but I want to make sure, do you have a place? Maybe it's in your car, it's in the shower, it's in a closet, it's somewhere where you are alone and you can seek him. But it wasn't enough for Zacchaeus to stay home and just be wishing and hoping and thinking and praying. No, he had to get up and go and engage. He had to get there, get uncomfortable to find the spot. So he keeps going here, verse 5. He found the spot, and then he looked up, and Jesus said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." Zacchaeus, who is so moved by Jesus, and finally Jesus comes to him, and then Jesus gets moved. Have you ever thought that maybe perhaps your behavior could move the heart of God into some sort of a thing? Where Jesus now is moved, and he's like, "I must. Something's going on. I've got to." And immediately, like now, let's go. Something's going on inside of me, and I must, and immediately, Jesus is speaking with some urgency. We've got to do this thing. So Zacchaeus, it says that he came down at once. He welcomed him gladly. I think that Jesus just responds to hunger, and Jesus responds to obedience and a quick response. Something that I appreciate about Joe Psalms is that Joe will send out texts of encouragement and scriptures and things like that. And Joe is on the road all day in his truck. He drives a semi-truck. But it doesn't keep him, his lifestyle doesn't get in the way of a pursuit of Jesus. Sometimes we can say, well, I got to get up to work early so I can't pursue Jesus. Or I get home late and I'm tired so I can't pursue Jesus. Or I've got kids to run to practice so I can find the reasons to eliminate myself. And Joe, one morning, he's on the road, and he shoots off this picture to us. The sun is coming up. He just woke up in the back of his cab, of his truck, and the scriptures are open. And he's engaging the Lord. What if your spot is just anywhere that you are? You don't need your kitchen. You don't need a table. You don't need a cool closet. You just find the spot, the presence. And as the sun is coming up, the sun doesn't greet Indiana without first greeting Joe Psalms and the Word of God. And here he is. I've got to find my spot. I've got to have daily disciplined decisions to stay in the Word of God. God's going to meet me. I'm banking on it, man. You've got to meet me. I'm kind of needing you. I'm kind of needing a breakthrough right now. I'm kind of needing this breakthrough in my marriage. I'm kind of needing this breakthrough in my family. I'm kind of needing this breakthrough in my heart. My heart's kind of dinged up right now, and I'm not loving it. But I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to show up again and again and again. I will be faithful. And God, I know that you're going to prove yourself to be faithful. I'm going to show up. I will be in the spot when you pass by. God forbid that he passes by and I miss my spot. But I want to be there. Joe's like, I'm going to be there. I'm not going to miss this opportunity for the Lord to speak to me. One of the great missionaries, Hudson Taylor, he was a missionary, the first missionary to inland China. The firstborn child of James and Amelia. He was raised in a believing home. A mama who was committed to praying for him from a young age. He was taught in scripture and in theology. And Hudson's parents had dedicated to him to the Lord at his birth. But it wouldn't be long before he began to shift and to change, and he began to throw some of that stuff away. When Hudson was 15 years old, his father determined that it was time for the boy to gain a wider experience of life. And so Hudson took up employment at a bank at 15 years old. It was in this environment that he encountered some people who openly mocked the Christian faith, and so he too began to mock Christ and Christians and scoffing at them. This job opened his eyes to wealth, to another side of life, of having stuff, of being a consumer of things. He began to enjoy it. He found himself drawn to money and to all of the pleasures that it can afford, and his spiritual life began sucking wind, and it was languishing. He lost interest in prayer, reading the Bible, and so much of what his parents had taught him. Perhaps you're even thinking, man, I've raised my kids in the church, and my kid 20 years ago was up singing that same song and doing the dance and the whole deal, and what happened? They're just ice cold or they're just lukewarm. There's no passion for the Lord. There's no fire on the altar of their heart for Jesus. What happened? Amelia, his mama, she intervened. She understood that Hudson was in a way that she needed a breakthrough. So she redoubled her efforts to be patient with him and to engage him. She spoke to him and she counseled with him. But she became convinced that the best thing she could do was to commit her son to prayer. And one day a compulsion grew to such a degree that she was determined to pray for her son until she came to a sense of assurance that God would save him. She locked herself in her room for hours, pleading with God that he would extend mercy to Hudson. And then all of a sudden, she believed that God had answered her prayer. Her heart turned from pleading to praising, and she worshiped God for all that he had done and that he would indeed save Hudson. Meanwhile, Hudson had been at home. He was bored and discontent, and he began looking for something to do. So he wanders into his father's library, and he pulled out book after book, and he found none of them to be interesting, until finally he spotted a tract titled Poor Richard. He read the story, and then he came to these simple words, "The finished work of Christ." In that moment, Hudson understood that Christ had done all that was necessary for salvation, and the only right response was to accept that work by faith. Right there, he fell to his knees and he committed his life to the Lord, promising to serve him forever. He soon learned that it was on his knees while he was praising God for his salvation that his mother was doing the very same thing many miles away. A few days later, he and his mother, they were reunited. And he immediately exclaimed, "I have some news to tell you." How many parents would love to hear that? "I have some news to share with you. I can't wait to tell you." Before he could say anything more, she replied, "I know what it is. You have given yourself to God." Many Christians have had godly moms. I think a lot of grandmamas. Maybe you've been prayed through by a grandma who's gotten you through. Maybe some godly fathers and brothers who have come around. It's not incidental detail that also his sister, Amelia Jr., had also committed to pray for his conversion during this time. She was only 13 years old, but she began to war in worship and in prayer for her brother and pleaded to God that he would save her. She would pray 3 times a day for God to save Hudson. He learned about this only later whenever he had accidentally opened up her diary and realized that he had made this promise just 1 month. She had made this commitment to pray for him 1 month before God saved him. Hudson's life was forever transformed, and he soon committed his life to missionary work. He was trained as a doctor, began to preach, and at last he departed for China in 1853. His mother was there to say farewell. And as he's standing there with his mama, and he describes their parting, he tells of their love and of her earnest prayers. And this is what Hudson writes in his journal. He says, "My beloved, now sainted mother, have come over to Liverpool to see me off. Never shall I forget that day, nor how she went with me into the cabin that was to be my home for nearly 6 long months. With a mother's loving hand, she smoothed the little bed. She sat by my side and joined in the last hymn that we could sing together before parting. We knelt down and she prayed. The last mother's prayer I was to hear before leaving for China. Then notice was given that we must separate. And we had to say goodbye, never expecting to meet on earth again." Many times missionaries, they would pack their bags in a coffin, knowing they would never come home. He goes on, "For my sake, she restrained her feelings as much as possible. We parted, and she went ashore, giving me her blessing. I stood alone on deck, and she followed that ship as we moved toward the dock gates. As we passed through the gates and the separation nearly commenced, Never shall I forget the cry of anguish wrung from that mother's heart. It went through me like a knife. I never knew so fully until then what God so loved the world truly meant. And I am quite sure my precious mother learned more of the love of God for the perishing in that 1 hour than in all of her life before. Even on the mission field, Hudson continued to depend upon his mother's prayer, pleading with her to plead for him, and writing to her with affection, "God be with you and bless you, my own dear, dear mother. Give you so to realize the preciousness of Jesus, that you may wish for nothing but to know him, even in the fellowship of his suffering." Amelia also was one that continued until there was separation by death before she would finally give up praying for Hudson. Hudson would spend 51 years in China, and he found the China Inland Mission. Hundreds of missionaries have followed him. Thousands of Chinese have given their lives to Christ because of this man. Even when raised in a godly home, even with loving parents, some children can be dragged away. But you can pray like Amelia prayed, and you may receive the clear, remarkable answer of your prayer. But as you plead for your children, begin to follow the leadings of the Holy Spirit. Cry out in faith and trust that there will be one day when your tears of mourning will turn to tears of joy. I want to encourage you as possible to stay in prayer, belabor in prayer, hang in prayer. As Amelia would even lock herself in her room until God would respond. There is a holy desperation. And I just don't think that we just kind of waltz around and just kind of walk into these unbelievable encounters. I'd say, man, with hunger, get to the spot of encounter and believe God for faith for your family. Verse 7, it goes on. All the people saw this and they began to mutter, "He has gone to the guest of a sinner." People are going to cry and critique and complain and judge. And I just want to encourage you even this morning, do not care about the person to your right or to your left. Do not care if anybody has anything to say about your desperation this morning. If it's running to the altar, if it's crying right now, if it's leaving right now and calling a son or a daughter, if it's doing whatever it takes, if it's lifting hands in holy desperation, if it's hitting the deck on your knees, whatever it is. But there are going to be people, "Can you believe this? Oh my gosh, Jesus is meeting with this person." No. Don't care. The critics are everywhere, okay? Let them do their thing. But what they do is they critique while you get a breakthrough. Just continue to press in for your encounter, because what happens is while everybody else is critiquing, you're hosting the Holy Ghost. He literally is hosting God in his home. God has come. God's having an encounter now with Zacchaeus, and the whole thing just turned. Verse 8, "But Zacchaeus, he stood up and he said to the Lord, 'Lord, look, here and now, I give half of my possessions to the poor. Have I cheated anybody out of anything? I will pay it back 4 times the amount.'" Zacchaeus has massive repentance, and he says, "I got to shift all of life. I'm giving it back. I'll give back 4 times. God, I just got to have a breakthrough. Something's going on with desperation." I'll just say that today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of breakthrough. Today is the day to get it all cleaned up. In verse 9, Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this household because of this man. He's a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man, he came to seek and to save the lost." I would just say today, put yourself in the place of an encounter and just see if Jesus would show up, do something massive in your life. "Jesus, I just want to give it all." Jesus says, "I'm going to do something. I'm going to do a work in your whole household. I'm going to do a work in your whole family. I want to restore marriage. I want to restore hearts." You know what? Maybe even marriage is okay. Not all has been lost, but it's just okay. God wants to put a white-hot affection back alive inside of us. Make us fall in love more today than we did on our wedding day. Maybe even as you're looking at your kids, you're like, "Well, they're okay. I mean, they kind of come to church a little bit." And I would just say, "Well, it's just probably not hot. It's not cold. It's just lukewarm." Jesus says, "That stuff's gross. I really want them to be fired up. So let's just go on behalf of the Lord. God, I need a breakthrough. I want to encounter you this morning." Whatever those things are, man, I would just say, get in the spot of an encounter and believe by faith that Jesus will meet us in a breakthrough for our family. Just a minute this morning, I'm going to pray. as we close, and I'm going to hang out right here. I don't know, this might be your spot, maybe it's not your spot, but I'm going to be here, and if anybody wants prayer, I will be here. We'll dismiss everybody else, but if you want to come forward, we're going to pray. Jesus, meet us. What, by faith, would you do something in my family? Would you do something in my cousins and my grandparents and my grandkids? Would you cause their hearts to come alive again? And by faith, we're going to believe that God will do something big time inside of our hearts. Amen? We can do this. God's for us. God is for us. And so by faith, let's go there. We've got to make a move. Zacchaeus had to get out of his house. He had to go. He had to get somewhere where Jesus was on the move. So let's meet him in that place. Amen? Amen. Let's stand this morning. I'll pray for us and close. And if you want some prayer, come down here and join with me this morning. Jesus, we know that there's lots of different family situations that we're going through it. Jesus, you're the one that knows that we need a breakthrough. You're the one that can provide that breakthrough. Maybe it's inside of our own hearts, and we just need to have a massive repentance and turning and giving our lives back to you. Maybe it's coming together as a couple and saying, God, just do something, do a mighty work inside of our marriage and our family. Maybe you're going to come up here on behalf of your grandkids. I don't know what it is, but come to a spot where God can have an encounter with you. Do a mighty, magical, miracle work this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
So we're so glad that you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.